The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, 'One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, 'The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Here's a thought. There are people in the world today of all ages, young and old, who have never sinned and will go to their deaths never having sinned. And I'm not just talking about infants, but I'm talking about people who have chosen not to sin. I hate people like that, don't you? Because I have sinned, I know that. And knowing myself, I'm thinking, I'm going to sin. I don't want to, and I'm working to avoid that, obviously, but, and I don't have to sin. But knowing myself, you know, I have my doubts. Now, one of the words that we hear throughout the Old and New Testament, which has something to do with sin, is repent. We hear it all the time. And in fact, the first words of Jesus' public ministry were, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So we're hearing something very important. There is sin everywhere because human beings choose to sin, but God doesn't want us to stay in our sins, but he wants us to repent and do penance and then continue on and not sin. So we have the season of Lent to remind us of what God desires for us and what God has done for us so that we don't have to sin, because we don't have to sin. Because of what Jesus Christ did through his death and resurrection, he destroyed the power of sin and the fear of sin and death so that we don't have to sin. So there's no excuse. I don't come up with any excuses. Yes, you know, I've sinned. I ask God for forgiveness. But God has done everything to reverse what Adam and Eve did. And we see it in our two main readings today from Genesis and from Matthew. So in the first reading, we have Adam and Eve sinning. And the fathers of the church talk about it in this way. There were really three lusts which they gave into. Number one, lust of the eyes. The tree was beautiful. It was very attractive. They gave into that. Secondly, lust of the flesh. The fruit of the tree was good to eat. They were told that. Good to eat. And then the third, it's not how the fathers frame it, but I'll use it this way, lust of pride. And they were saying, well, why shouldn't we have all this knowledge and wisdom? Why should God keep it all to himself? So they gave in to those three types of lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and lust of pride. Fast forward to Matthew's gospel, Jesus has exactly the same temptations. Three temptations, And in each one, he turns away from them. Lust of the eyes. He sees all these kingdoms. Nope, I don't need it. He has the bread. The stones can be turned into bread. Well, there's lust of the flesh. Nope. Even though he's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he says no. And lust of pride, this power to do what he wants to do, he says no. No, I'm here to do the Father's will. So unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus, through his saying no to Satan, get behind me, Satan, begins the undoing of what Adam and Eve did. And of course, it concludes with Jesus' death and resurrection, which comes at the end of Lent and the beginning of the Easter season. So we have the story of life, of human beings, encapsulated in these two readings. Perfect readings for the beginning of Lent, to remember who Adam and Eve were, and they were our ancestors, but also to remember who Jesus Christ is, who is our Lord and Savior, who began to do things differently so that we never have to sin. And so the blessings and the graces that we get from God are more than enough for us to say no, or when we do sin, to repent, to seek reconciliation, to do reparation and penance, so that we can say to God, thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for cleaning my life up so that I can be faithful to you. And that's what God wants. And God does not take delight in sinners who fall and are punished. No, he's always there to help us to move along, to pick ourselves up. It gives us graces so that we can be strong in the pursuit of our faith, so that we can be good disciples. And of course, baptized Christians, unlike those who have never been baptized, we have no excuse whatsoever, because in baptism, we are immersed into the very death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We die to ourselves. We come out of the waters, like Jesus coming out of the tomb. We come out a new creation, and we become adopted children of God. And we're not just mere creatures anymore, but because of this divine love, we begin to become divine. And so we have a great responsibility as followers of the Lord to take our faith seriously, to remember who we are in the eyes of God, how God calls us to be his followers, to be his children, and to live that life out in the world, not to hide it. Again, we have all these wonderful parables about don't hide your light. Let it shine. And not so that people will say, oh, what a great person that is. Of course, I would love people to say that too. But that's not the point. The point is they see it, they connect it with God, and they say, wow, what a powerful, wonderful God you have. I want to know about that God. And then we can invite people into that relationship with Jesus Christ that we already experience and enjoy. So the 40 days of Lent, and we have them every single year, and the church says it's a joyful season, a joyful time to be honest about ourselves, to say, yeah, I'm a sinner. This is how I've sinned, to go to confession, to bare our hearts, bare our souls, bare our minds, not out of fear or a sense of, you know, I'm a terrible person, but because we know God will take those sins once we have asked for forgiveness and put them behind him. So he's not going to remember them, and he's not going to throw them in our face anymore, because he's there for us every single moment of the day. He did everything he did for you and me as unique human beings. He knew who we were going to be because he created us. He knows what we're going to do. And he knows that each and every one is a particular, unique part of his kingdom. And he doesn't want to lose anybody. But that's where we have free choice. We can say no to God. And I don't know how anyone, even at the last moment, if they come to the face-to-face with God, could actually say, no, I don't want to be with you. However, let's face it, that's what the fallen angels did. You know, Lucifer and that his cohort, they saw the glory of God. They were believers. They have faith. But it's that sin of pride for them. They wanted more. So, yes, the angels have free will and they fell. And yet, we too are like them. But unlike the angels who have fallen, we have Jesus Christ, God, who became a human being, who literally shows us the way. He gives us the template so that we can live lives of grace and blessings and goodness. So again, we have no excuse. But from here on in, none of us have to sin. So I'm going to encourage all of us to pray for one another, because we need one another. I can't avoid sin on my own. I can't. Neither can you. We need a community of believers who are constantly praying for one another so that we are strong in our faith, so that we can avoid sin. And not avoid sin simply for our salvation, but so that other people will be able to see the light of Christ shining through us and come to Jesus Christ and recognize they too can let go of evil in their lives, become a child of God, and one day inherit the kingdom of God. That is God's desire for us. And so again, Lent is an opportunity to go a little bit deeper into our lives, to do acts of almsgiving, of penance, of prayer, wonderful things to help us remember who we are, who we were created to be, who we became in baptism, who our God is, what he did for us, so that we can grow in our faith, become stronger people, holy people, who are always looking for ways to go further in our faith. So we have just less than 40 days now, but it's a wonderful opportunity to set just even a couple minutes aside each day, maybe read some scripture, do some inventory in our lives. What do we need to do to change? And maybe focus on one area of sin, and I'll say habitual sin. I think we all have that. Every time I hear confessions generally, and when I confess myself to my spiritual director, it's usually, you know, there I go again. It's the same thing. But what about that habitual sin? What is it that keeps pulling me into it? What do I need to do to get away from it? What is the virtue I need to practice to take the place of that vice? So to think about it that way and to just make little incremental changes each day, because God is blessing us as we do that so that we can be more on fire with our faith and be better evangelists, better missionaries, so that we can take the light of Christ into the world that has so much darkness and let other people know there is a God who loves everyone, who wants everyone to be with him. So let's pray that as we hear the word of God today and receive his very flesh and blood, that we will take the time to enjoy what God has done for us, to value it, to thank him for it, so that we can be better disciples each and every day.